Yeah, David?
Do you want to go back?
Back where?
Back to the best.
Back to the best?
Back to the best. Hello, hi, and welcome to this week's episode of
Back to the best.
I'm David.
And I'm Grace, and this is our podcast where we talk about all the best things from the 90s to the 2000s, which is also known as
The Best Times. To all of our first-time listeners, welcome. To all of our former besties returning,
welcome back. Could anyone tell that during this intro we were doing hand movements?
It was very...
Did it feel exaggerated?
Very spiritual.
Let us know, because I felt like doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as the old saying goes...
When you move.
the energy is better.
That's what they say. When you move, the energy is better. And we feel that that is true.
How is your energy today?
My energy is really good. Thank you for asking. David and I did just snack on maybe 3 veggie straws.
We're stuffed.
That's all we have a day. 3. Only allow ourselves 3. So yeah, gave me a little boost. My energy's good.
You had a baby a year ago this week.
Let's just say my energy is a lot better today than it was a year ago.
We were talking earlier. If you've listened, in the last year.
Yeah.
Grace had the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about 3 weeks later, Grace was like, do you want to come over and record an episode?
Not me. Then sitting on my couch, fully breastfeeding, holding a microphone in the other hand to say we're committed.
And then we realized that that was like a lot. Mm-hmm. And then we never addressed it, but we just disappeared for a couple months.
But you know what? I guess we like to think that our listeners understand.
Because then we came back with, was Kim Rhodes our first episode back? And that was our first interview back.
We didn't like an episode, I think, just like discussing where we've been. And
everyone was wondering.
But the things we do for the podcast.
How was the first birthday though?
Oh my God, it was so fun. My husband surprised us and was off from work and got tickets to the zoo. And we went to the zoo and it was so fun.
Was it crowded? Because it was Easter weekend whenever I drove by the zoo. But that parking lot was so full. How was it when you were there?
It was crowded. The parking lot was very full. Lots of field trips.
Well, it's spring.
Spring break. Maybe a little bit at the zoo. It was crowded, but maybe it's the parents in us now. Like, we just kind of felt like we fit in. We were behind. Sure. Everyone had a stroller. Oh. And, you know, Tim and I joked we were just dehydrated and starving, but as Riley had her lunch and her water and we didn't care. Like, we were just making it work for her.
Was she free?
What? Oh, yes, to get in? Yeah. It's under 2.
You really got to take her to Disneyland before.
Oh, my God.
I think Disneyland is still 3 and under.
Is it 3?
Or maybe just under 3.
We'll have to check, but we'll definitely take her. Mm-hmm. She's so good on the go, and she loves going places. As long as she's got her snacks, she's good.
We get it. We've got our snacks. What is this called? A veggie straw?
Veggie straws. Mm-hmm. I think one's supposed to be tomato, one's potato. Is it potato?
What's the extra green one?
It's spinach, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
Or broccoli, spinach.
I mean, the technology today.
To make the leaf of spinach into that crunchy straw. We were just saying they really get you. It's not really healthy. Mm. It's a potato chip.
That's okay.
But her birthday was great. Oh, I baked her a cake and I messed up a little bit.
That's okay.
It
was her first cake.
She
literally has nothing to compare it to.
No. It tasted good. It was very dense. It was just like dense.
So it's like
she had more. My mom made homemade whipped cream for the icing, which was delicious. Ooh. And we put strawberries on it because she loves strawberries. So and yeah, it was so fun. We all just sat here and watched her just smack
that
a cake.
That video was really cute. Your mom showed it to me.
Yeah. Oh, my mom loves that video. I'm just going to show everyone. But it's crazy. Our child's a year.
She's one
and more fun.
I'm very excited to see what her nostalgic shows end up being. Like, you know, like what is she, like, because yes. I know she watches Miss Rachel now.
She watches Miss Rachel, like, yes.
And if she watches that for a few more years, in 2045, will her and her best friend, David, be doing a nostalgia podcast about Miss Rachel?
I mean, let's hope that she'll follow in mommy and daddy's footsteps David is not the father, in case anyone's new here. It's just an ongoing joke. She does have your eyes. Spitting they image. Are. But no, I wonder that too. Because we always joke that Riley's going to grow up and go to school and she's going to be like, did you guys see Hannah Montana this weekend or Lizzie McGuire? And like, people are not going to know what she's talking about.
No.
But she will be watching those shows. But
like,
shows.
I mean, SpongeBob doesn't ever seem like it's going to end. So true. So it's like, that could be one.
I know.
And then you know what's really never going to end? This isn't a show she'll watch until she's probably a teenager.
Oh, God.
Grey's Anatomy. Season 21. Here we come.
We love Grey's Anatomy. Don't get us
and
wrong.
We will watch till the end.
We will watch till the end. We will always be loyal fans. But my goodness, a lot of seasons.
The tweets that came out.
The one that you said that was like, this hospital needs to be shut down or something.
Shut this hospital down. And then there was one where it was a picture of Meredith, Ellen Pompeo, like looking sad. And mm-hmm. they were like, someone just told her that there's another season.
I mean, God bless those writers.
I have to imagine at some point we're going to get Christina Yang back. If they, just,
I know. I feel like it's like they're holding out for that.
If it just keeps going, mm-hmm. we got to get Sandra Oh.
Oh, we have
back
to.
Back on the show.
That's a petition we're starting. Get Sandra Oh back on the show. And we don't have to say what show it is. Everyone knows what show it is.
Christina Yang.
Christina Yang. Duh. Icon. But it's, again, we will always love it. We will always be loyal. But she's coming back for another season. You can't keep her down.
And we would never try.
No, we would never, ever try. And even that theme song. Dun, 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 dun. When I was like binging that show for the first time, because I was a few seasons late. On Netflix, like at the end of every single one, it's the dun, 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 dun.
Well, even like the first, is it the first like season or two? They like actually have time at the beginning for a little.
Yes. And there's like some, yeah, there's some words in it, I think. God,
and then remember, I think it's like season 8, whenever they went through that phase of doing like the weird slowed down versions of songs. Like there's that, yes. Oops, I Did It Again.
Yes.
That was a good time.
That was a good time. But God, we love a theme song.
Oh my God. And today's guest, we have Danny Smith, who played mm-hmm. Merton on Big Wolf on Campus. Mm-hmm. And he sings that theme song.
Guys, we did a challenge, which we talk about in this episode on our YouTube channel years ago. We played theme songs and we guessed them. David and I love a theme song, and to be able to talk with Danny, who is the singer on a theme song, was a dream come true.
I think one of our biggest regrets though is for whatever reason we didn't have that theme song on that video.
I know, but I think, did we randomly pick those? I
we
can't
did randomly
remember.
Pick it, and it really just yeah. goes to show that we should do another, because there's probably
so many
other
more
theme songs that we didn't include.
Oh my God, and we love them. But you'll hear us talk about that with Danny. He explains and shares more about how that came to be,
yes.
him singing this theme song, how he feels about it, Big Wolf on Campus. Oh,
so good.
He talks a bit about like his music career, his art. So many good things coming up in this episode.
And here they come.
Here they're coming right on in. Just stay tuned.
Because without further ado, without further ado, here's our chat with Danny Smith.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Recording in progress.
We did it.
We did it. Hello, Grace. Hello, David.
Hello.
Back to the
nice
best.
Thank you. Thank you
too.
So much for doing this.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This is fun.
So we are so excited to hear all about your career. And so, okay, first of all, so you make all these amazing paintings. You sing, you act, you kind of do it all, but what came first for you out of those?
That's a good question. I think probably drawing was first, art was first. My dad's a painter. He still is, Gary Smith. And so I grew up with, you know, we had a full studio in our basement. Like he transformed it into his own art studio. And I guess he taught me everything I know, or I learned through osmosis. And my mom still has 100 boxes in the basement of all my little drawings from back in the day. And
Something
I just,
our moms,
I think I
do too.
Our moms never throw anything out.
Way.
We love our moms. I love you, mom.
Yes.
Mom. It's mom. I say mom with mom. A U.
Mom.
Yeah. Mommy. But yeah, I've always done it. I mean, I still think I draw every day. Like, I mean, pretty much every single day I've drawn. I mean, gosh, when I was in grade school, I don't know if you remember Mad Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But I made my own little Laugh Magazine, LAF, and like I would photocopy it and do like satires of films or parodies of films and like try to sell it at school for $1.50. I literally still have those somewhere.
Oh.
So I've always done it, you know, always done it. Yeah.
Definitely
And
had
now
the
it's like,
creative bug.
yeah. And my mom, you know, my mom's side is Irish and they're all like musicians and guitar players and singers. So I think, you know, my dad's a painter, my mom's side is all musicians. So it just kind of came together. And it's, you know, I wish I had a mind for finance or banking or something more
I
lucrative,
know.
but I like, you know, I like movies and I like music and it's out of my control. I have to, you know, be a part of it.
Oh yeah, you can't control that, honestly. I sometimes feel the same way. It's like, man, couldn't I have just like loved like physics or something, or like
Yes.
wanted to be like a brain surgeon, but it's not
Yeah.
for
It's
me.
not
It's
there. As an
not for us.
adult, like, don't you guys find, like, as an adult, things like physics are more interesting, like, or like space or the universe? Like, I wish they
Yes.
taught it in a cool way when
Yes.
I was in high school, or like ancient
Yes.
civilizations, they dug up and found these, you know, never before seen mammoth bones in, you know, Siberia. Like, it's interesting now, you know?
Yeah, before it was
Totally
just
agree.
in one ear out the other when you're in school learning about it.
Yeah, because they really had to teach a lot at once. They would just jump from like different subject, and there was just so many that you had to take. I feel like they should have had more, like there should have been a class in high school just on how taxes work and how to do your taxes. You
100%,
know what I mean?
100%.
Like,
I
we
still
need to know this. I don't understand it, and we
Yeah.
needed to know this instead of like, I don't know, cooking class. Not that we didn't like to
We
try the
love
food
it.
we
We love
make,
it. We
but
love
you
the
know
cooking
what?
class too.
100%.
Loved
We
it,
love the
loved it,
cooking.
loved
I
it.
100%. Taxes class, how to buy a home tax, how to be in a
Investing.
relationship. Yeah. How to love your partner. That should have been a class. Yeah.
But, you
All
know,
right.
chemistry,
I
algebra,
know. We learned a bit about the periodic
chromosomes.
table,
And
and look what it's doing for us now.
I know, I haven't used any of it.
I know, it's so
Sine, cosine,
sad.
yeah.
So
Yeah. So I was
then.
more interested in like the arts for sure. So I did all that stuff in high school. I was doing all the plays and, you know, first play I did, like I don't know, grade two or something, I played Jesus in a school play. And I remember we had like a transparent pitcher with some grape Kool-Aid powder in the bottom, which the audience couldn't see. And then we had another transparent pitcher with water, so I poured it in and it filled up purple like wine, turning water into wine. And you know, I got a kick out of that. And then I went on to do, like, all through high school, it was like every actor, right? It's like Cowardly Lion, Wizard of Oz, you know, Godspell, Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors, Joseph in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So I did all those, and just, I guess I was that kind of guy, like horsing around, goofing around, that kind of guy, not science minded
Yeah.
whatsoever.
Well, you're in the right crowd for that,
You're in
because
great company. Yeah. Not for us. Not
yeah.
for us.
We absolutely love you in Big Wolf on Campus. I think that it really was, like, for several years, my after school ritual. I would get home from school, turn on, at the time, I think it was called Fox Family, and I would watch Big Wolf on Campus and S Club 7 every day after school.
S Club, S Club. For sure, S Club.
Is the best lineup. What do you
Oh
remember about the
yeah.
audition process for Big Wolf on Campus?
Oh my gosh, the audition. I was in Toronto at the time. It was just another audition. You just get sent on an audition. I put myself on tape that was sent to Montreal where they shoot the show. And for the callback, they said, you're getting a callback. We're going to fly you to Montreal. But I looked like this coloring and glasses and everything, exact same. But they said you have to dye your hair jet black and put in contacts. I'd never worn contacts before. And I remember that ordeal of like sticking
Oh, it's
something in my
awful.
eye.
The worst. I don't have glasses,
Right?
but I don't think I say this. I don't think I could do it. How do you
Yeah.
put your finger in your eye?
Oh, it's a whole like Yoda Jedi mind trick. You have to play on
Yeah.
yourself to just like, and now I'm used to it and I could pop them in and out. But the first 100 times was
Yeah. Oh,
very,
God.
yeah.
Oh. Sorry. It really blows my mind how people do that.
Yeah, I know, it becomes a skill after a while, but yeah, so then I went to Montreal and it was at a hotel, like in a big, I don't know, ballroom or conference room, whatever. And there were like 25 people sitting behind the desk. Like, usually at an
Oh my
audition, there's like one
God.
person and a camera person. Like literally 25, 20 people, 25, 30 people.
Oh, I'm stressed.
So it felt like, yeah, it was like 50 Simon Cowells just like judging me. And I got the black hair all of a sudden, and I'm wearing contacts. I'm
You're like, I can't not
disoriented. You can't
see.
see a thing.
Dude, for real. Didn't see it. Yeah, it was the wrong prescription, wrong eyes. No. But I felt good about it. I felt like it went really well. And I got called, I remember, soon thereafter. And I think I was the first person cast for the show out of the whole cast. And I was super excited. I mean, I was young and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna move to Montreal, do this show, get to be goofy. And I mean, it was, from that day till the day we wrapped, it was like a dream come true. It was like the best job. I have nothing bad to say. I have no tea to spill. I have no gossip. I mean, really, it was like a dream gig.
I mean, we love to hear that.
Yeah,
it really was. It was a love fest, honest to God. Like Peter Knight and Christopher Briggs created the show, and we clicked right away. Like Peter Knight and I, like best friends for life for sure. He's the funniest, smartest dude. I love him so much. Like he's a genius and hilarious. Brandon, who played Tommy, like instant connection, instant brothers. I have like home video, like with the date on it, proving this is like happening the second day we met. And we're like best, like we'd finish doing a read through and then we would stay on set and run around at night. We'd hang out in our trailers. We would sleep in our trailers. We'd like blast music and invite friends over. And it was like that for 3 or 4 years. Like we constantly partied. We had, we'd be at his place, my place, going out to bars, going to concerts, inviting the crew and writers over all the time. Like anyone who guest starred came over and partied with us. I love those guys. No one makes me laugh like Brandon. He is, I just see him and we couldn't even act together. Like we couldn't look at each other. We had to do like 1,000 takes because the crew was like, come on, guys, let's go.
Pull
Get
it
the, because we
together.
just kept laughing. Honest to God, like I feel like when I watch the show, I can tell we're laughing all the time. So it was fun. And yeah, we were super, super, super close. Like, I think it translates on the show. I think watching the show, I'm always like grabbing him and like hugging him and clinging to him and kissing his cheek. Like we're so intimate, it's
Oh,
ridiculous.
you're the
And we were from
perfect
the very
duo.
beginning.
It's the perfect duo.
Yes. Yeah, I think so too. Like it was a buddy comedy to me, that show. It wasn't like horror thing or like it was just a buddy comedy. And yeah, I mean, I'm gushing now. I haven't thought about it in so long. It's all just kind of resurfacing. So it's a good thing. Thanks.
Oh
Oh
my
my
gosh,
gosh,
this is why we
it's
love this
why
pot.
David and I want to do this.
Yes. I mean, I want to do it too. Like, I would love to do a podcast. I'm obsessed with cinema and things too, and I would love to have people on. Like, I'm a fan too, right? That's why I'm in it. So I'd be geeking out over a million people. And so we're both on the same side of the table here. Like, if Conan O'Brien was on here, I'd be like, okay, remember in episode 4 when, So.
No, we totally get it. It's we
Oh
feel
my
this
gosh.
way every time, and we just have the best time reminiscing like this.
You probably get an idea like, oh, we should do, like Gilmore Girls or something. And then you go back and revisit all the episodes. And so you kind of like get excited again about it, right?
It's
It's what I did with
yeah, like
this.
seeing it again.
All the Big Wolf on Campus episodes are on YouTube, so I watched like so many episodes just last night and couldn't wait
Oh
for
my gosh.
4 o'clock today to hit.
It just takes
Are
you
they?
back to that, like watching it at the time that you first watched it, and you get that same feeling.
And I miss the times when something was on TV at like, 3 o'clock Thursday or whatever, and you had to be
Had to
there
be
to see it.
there.
Like now it's, you can just kind of see it whenever. Like it seems more special to be like, okay, yes, yeah. And then you talk about it the next day, like, did you see, whatever, Seinfeld last night or, And it's like a shared experience as opposed to now people just kind of can watch things whenever, of course, right?
Yeah, it's so
But
different. Oh, yeah.
on YouTube, the episodes are so blurry, I think, right? Like my
They are
dream is to
blurry.
have like a Blu-ray 4K box set release of the show.
Oh, we need it. There's so many things that like just aren't streaming somewhere, so it's like, give us something. How do we get this on a DVD or a Blu-ray?
Big time. And like my dream is to like do commentary with Brandon and Peter Knight, like on every episode. Like just we have a zillion stories per episode. I mean, on one hand, a lot of it's just kind of like this morass, this mush in my brain of the episodes. Like people will mention certain episodes. I don't even remember like which, what was that, or titles,
All
or I don't
runs
remember any of those
together.
things. Yeah, but watch if we watched an episode, we'd be like, oh, remember this and this happened and whatever, right?
Yeah. Wait,
But
with
yeah.
you being the first person cast then, did you have to do like mixing and matching with other people, or was it just right away Brandon was like the obvious choice?
I didn't do the mix and match. I remember, I don't know if you remember the show Party of Five, but Neve Campbell from the Scream films, she was sort of in our circle of friends at the time, and she had to do a mix and match. They did like a whole blonde family and a whole brunette family, and they did a mix and match for that. Or not a mix and match,
Whoa.
but the blonde family versus the brunette. But we didn't have that on Big Wolf. It was just, I got cast and I was excited, and then I showed up. I don't remember, like a month later, a few weeks later, 2 months later, I don't remember. And then there was this guy, Brandon, and like I just love that guy, man. Like right away we hit it off. And the same goes for the whole cast. Like we had Rachelle Lefevre at the time, and Dom DeRosa and Rob DeLeo played TNT, these kind of bullies, and Jack Mosshammer was Brandon's brother. And we were all just like friendly, and it was good vibes. It was good vibes for sure.
It definitely comes across.
Oh yeah. And you sing the theme song too. How did that come to be? Was that just like a dream? Because I mean, we love theme songs. Theme songs are iconic, and then you got to sing it.
Yes. I know I'm so disappointed you guys didn't do my theme song on your
I'm
episode. I
so
was like, come
sorry.
on, Saved by
Oh
the Bell.
no. Listen,
Come
we need
on,
to come back to you too.
failed.
There's still time. There's totally still
Huge
time.
fail.
We're ready to do
Nah.
another video. We love
Do
theme
it.
songs.
Do it. I'll be watching.
Good.
Yeah, that was a dream come true too, and it just kind of happened. I always played music, always played guitar, was in bands my whole life, and like all through high school, just like not bands, but just playing around town or whatever. And so I had my guitar on set, like in my trailer, and because we're shooting the pilot, like nothing, the show had never aired, of course, at this point, or we were in rehearsals even, and Peter Knight, we were so friendly, we were so tight the whole time, right from the beginning, that he would hang out in my trailer, and I was like, yeah, I wrote a song. What do you think? So I just played him a song, the song, and he liked it. So we went into a recording studio, recorded the song. I played, guitar and bass and sang on it. And he pitched it to the producers, and they liked it and greenlit it. Then we went back and re-recorded it, and like you say, like theme songs are so iconic for me too, like as a fan of television, that it's cool. Like it's so cool I got to be on the show, but it's also so cool I got to write a TV theme song, right? Like that's kind
Oh
of like
my
a little
God.
bucket list thing to check off, right?
Yeah, shows don't do theme songs the
Totally.
way they used to.
No, they really don't.
Right. And it's so weird to think of it. Like for me, it's like, oh yeah, it's just kind of I did that. But it's weird to think like if Joey from Friends sang the theme song to Friends, like it doesn't make sense. Like it's so meta or something, right? It's so random. But
It fits the show so well because even in, I remember watching it, and there's like the episode where you're like writing the song, but as your character, there's just something about the comedy for the show that it just works perfectly. That of course you would be singing the theme song to the show.
And that's me and Peter. Like we would shoot all day. Like he'd be up in the writer's room, I'd be down on set shooting, excuse me. And we'd meet that night and talk about what we were gonna do the next day. Like, okay, what do you want to do tomorrow, right? And we just infuse all of our own inside jokes and things, and our musical references. Like probably every episode has like a hidden reference to a movie we like or a band like Weezer or like Kiss or whatever. Like I'm just thinking there's an episode where like I'm reaching for there's like a medieval door and there's a brass circular knocker and my hand reaches up, and we wanted that shot because there's a band called Kiss and they had an album called Music from the Elder, as if the Elder is a real play or something. It never existed. So Peter and I always thought that album was so ridiculous and comical. We'd always like listen to it till 4 in the morning and laugh about it. So, and the cover of that album is that image. So we're like, we gotta put that in the show. Like everything is like, we gotta put that in the show. So it was the best. Like I guess the first season, Peter lived below me in a condo downtown, and we would meet like in the stairwell between us with both of our guitars, and we just jam and talk about like, oh, what do you want to do tomorrow? Oh, let's take this from this movie or this band or whatever. So there's a ton of references in there that probably people don't know about.
Well,
No, I
anyone can
love
go watch
that
them on
though.
YouTube and look for them now. They're blurry, but they're there.
The quality might not be what we want, but they're there.
I know, it's such a bummer.
Could be worse quality, so we'll take what we can get.
It could be like someone like filming it on their TV.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not that. It's not like that. You fit this role so perfectly. It was like they wrote it just for you. Did you feel like you had any similarities with Merton?
100%. Like, just reading the way his dialogue was written, I connected to it right away. The comedic, and that was Peter Knight. The comedic beats, like our sensibilities are so in sync. And when we shot the pilot, the first director wanted me to be like, Merton's gothic, so he wanted him to be like dark and brooding and like hunched over and all this stuff. And I'm so over the top. Like, this is me toned down, by the way. Like, I have to rein it in real life because mm-hmm. it'll just out. Repel people. But I'm like, no, like, I mean, Merton is so close to what I really am. So I was like super goofy and over the top on the show. And the director was concerned, like, this isn't going to work, you know? Mm-hmm. But everyone else, like the producers and everyone, were like, no, this is good. This is good. So I'm so happy and grateful that they dug it because I got to just do what I wanted. Like, no one ever told me no. Like, for three seasons, 65 episodes, I literally feel like I got to do anything I wanted, like any physical shtick, like kicking over a table, anything, playing basketball and missing the ball. Like, these are all just ideas I wanted to do. Like, hey, can we do this? Can we do that? I'm not taking credit for the writing. We had a great writing staff. You know, Peter, Chris Briggs, Rick Nyholm, Matt Salzberg, Barry Julian, a bunch of guys who've gone on to great other things, of course. But I just feel like I always got to do what I wanted on the show. And I think that's what an actor needs. Like, it's you know, it's in the casting. They cast the right people who are that person already. You know, they're not shaping themselves too much to become, I mean, unless you're Daniel Day-Lewis or something, of course. But, but you know what I mean? Like, you want to cast someone for their own personality. And yeah. I think it was good up against Brandon. Like, Brandon was like this handsome, charming stud. And I was like this idiotic goofball. And together it was a good team, you know?
Oh, yeah. It also sounds really freeing for an actor because I think I have to imagine if you're on a set or you're on a show or a movie or whatever it is, and you feel like the director or maybe a writer might really want you to do it a certain way, that's probably going to make someone get in their own head. And they're just going to like fumble or not do it that way. And they're going to go the opposite. But if, like you said, if you're kind of able to be free and you're encouraged to make your own choices, that's got to make everyone way more relaxed and yes. just produce better content, really.
And you're so into doing the show. Like you're chomping at the bit to get back to set, you know?
Yeah.
And I've done things subsequently where, you know, I feel like, yeah, this is what the character should do. And directors have said, no, don't do that. Or that's too much or this and that. And if mm-hmm. it doesn't fit the tone of the film or whatever, that I understand, but I've never had that chance again or that opportunity again, just to like, just let loose and like I've had 12 Red Bulls and like, let's go. You know?
So much caffeine.
That's what fueled that show. Yeah. So if any casting directors are out there and they need a character who's like so hopped up on caffeine, I'm your guy for sure.
Come the Red Bull.
Yeah.
Were you aware, since this was obviously filmed in Canada, it was airing up there, were you aware that we were down here in the United States watching it on Fox Family?
No. It felt like, it really felt like, because we weren't even shooting downtown Montreal. We were kind of, you know, out the outskirts of Montreal in this like not an abandoned factory. I mean, it was a legitimate space. But we just kind of felt like we were doing it for us, you know, especially the first season when it hadn't even aired yet. We were just like going to work, having fun. But yeah, like once the show had started airing and I was traveling and even traveling the world, like going to Paris and getting recognized and things like that was nuts to me, you know, mm-hmm. to know that and I've seen the show with different languages dubbed over it. And I get a kick out of like seeing my character with the French,
oh, that's cool.
the French language or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, it was definitely a surprise that other people knew about it and liked it. And I mean, literally to this day, like I still get messages. I mean, the show ended 20 years ago and I still get like, we'll end our call and I'll go check my Instagram and there'll be a message about the show. Like people still like it, which blows my mind and makes me so happy because I like it too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's wild. It feels like a dream that it even happened. But when people bring it up, it's an awesome reminder for sure.
There's also, since there's so many really fun villains in this show, we're wondering if you have a favorite. You can list more than one. We're terrible at picking favorites, so it's fine. But a favorite.
For sure. I'm off. If someone says, you know, like Letterboxd says, name your, what are your four favorite films? I'm like,
oh, forget it.
400. Yeah.
No, way more.
Way more.
Way more.
We're the same way.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there are a few that come to mind. For sure, Corey Haim and Corey Feldman. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, two huge stars in the 80s. I don't know if you remember. And the 90s. I mean, the 90s, yeah. I guess. And the 80s. But yeah, like Lost Boys, Goonies, Gremlins, License to Drive. I mean, tons of movies. And, you know, I grew up watching those movies. And so they both guest starred on the show. And that was awesome to
that's really cool.
meet them and work with them. That's really cool. Yeah, it was super cool. And just the buzz around the set, knowing they were going to come in and be a part of it. Like, it was very exciting for everyone. And they were cool dudes. Like, they, you know, again, we hung out after set. Like, Corey Haim and Brandon definitely hit it off. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time for sure. Well, I'm just pausing because there's so many stories I want to tell, but I shouldn't tell tales out of school. You know, I don't want to implicate people for their
Fair. Yeah, we get that.
No, I was just going to say there was just one more thing about a villain. There was a like a voodoo doctor, witch doctor episode. And I guess he had like a Cajun, like half French kind of accent, you know, for the character, like being like this like Haitian character, you know, voodoo witch doctor. And like that whole thing was built around, like my character was Merton, but the crew was French Canadian from Montreal. And they would call it Merton. And so this witch doctor character, the whole thing was built around just so he could call me Merton. So in the episode, he calls me Merton. So it's all like inside jokes and whatnot.
Oh, I love anyway, that.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I love that.
Okay, this is not related to Big Wolf on Campus, but we just would love to hear about your experience whenever you won like everything on The Price is Right.
Oh my gosh, yes. Wow, I can't, yeah, I haven't heard about that in a long time. No one's brought that up. It's amazing to even know about that.
We love The Price is
oh
Right.
Oh my God, dude, so did I, man, so did I. I mean, for sure, like you guys, I'm sure, you know, eating lunch with your grandparents, watching Price is Right or whatever. That was like the, I mean, everything I'm always going to say is the best experience, whatever. I guess I'm a happy, positive dude. I love things that have happened, but Price is Right was the best, man. Like, I lived in LA at the time, obviously. And actually, Amaye Castle from Big Wolf, she played Lori Baxter on season 2 and 3. We were driving around LA, drove past the CBS lot, and there was a huge lineup outside. And we're like, what's going on here, right? And they're like, oh, it's Price is Right, like for the audience. And I'm like, let's go. So we lined up, and in the lineup, they, you know, kind of take groups of 10. I'm sure you guys have even done this probably with guests to your studio lots and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, in groups of 10, like, where are you from? What's your name? What do you do? And they just go down the line. And you don't know you're going to be chosen. So you're sitting in the crowd. The show starts. You feel like you're in like this fever dream. Like, you're so familiar with the set and the big wheel and everything. It's weird that you're there. And then they say, Daniel, I said Daniel just for the heck of it. Mm-hmm. Daniel Smith, come on down. And you're like, oh my gosh. And you ran. I ran down there and I had the whole experience. Like, I won the whole show. Like, I won that bidder's row or whatever it is. I played Let 'em Roll, which is like a dice game where, you know, there are different monetary values on each side of each die. And there's a car on one side. And on my first roll, 4 out of 5 were cars. And then I rolled again and I got the car. And then I like spun the wheel, beat the person, won the showcase showdown, like won all this stuff. It was amazing and hilarious. And yeah, that was awesome. And it was Bob Barker, the old original host, too, with like that long, skinny microphone, you know?
And he
was super, totally iconic. Yeah. And he was super cool, too. Like, I think we had a great rapport and he was funny and charming. And we had a lot of good back and forths. Like, I don't know if that's on YouTube, but. I mean, that's worth a watch if I can find it too. That was super, super fun, super crazy.
I would love to go on like a show like that.
Yeah, you almost did, didn't you, Grace? Didn't you and your family like get a couple rounds into some game show?
How did that even, where did that come from? I can't even remember now, but yeah, my family, like it was, I think Kristen Bell and Dax were doing like a game show that was like under Ellen's umbrella, not like the umbrella of Ellen. And anyway, we saw the casting or something, and we had to like send in this audition with the casting director.
Yes.
And it was just so we ended up like we just couldn't stop laughing because like my brother and I like watching our parents. Anyway, we didn't get on the show, but it turns out that show, I think, only lasted for one season. And Kristen and Dax are very open about how much they actually didn't like it. Like they said the challenges were like really miserable. So I think we lucked out.
Probably for the best.
Yes.
I think it's next time. But I still want to be on one.
For sure. Was it like a whole family affair, like Family Feud, like you all would have been on it? Oh, yeah.
Yes, the whole family, which would have been so good. Fun.
Yes.
So fun. I know. So maybe one day, maybe we'll try.
like I can tell you get it. Like it would have been fun to be on TV and to be on a game show. Mm-hmm. But the fun part is like having that footage later to laugh at and be like, this is insane. Oh, and like, you know,
show everybody,
we were
you know,
cracking up just at the auditions. Oh, it was hilarious. Just watching each other do that. It was so funny. Yeah.
It's crazy to me to think about that. This was like before you had to go online and like reserve a ticket, that you were able to just see the line and just not, no plans, just get in line. And then you want a car.
Just get in line.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like I want a car, I want a sauna, like this huge wooden barrel of a sauna, like kitchen sets, an armoire, like tons of stuff. But because I'm Canadian, I could trade it all in for cash and not pay tax on anything. So I just did that.
Whoa. I was going to say that feels like the move.
Great idea. Yeah, that's the move.
And Big Wolf Kids thought it was fixed. Like I got a lot of messages saying, you're an actor. Like this isn't real, you know?
You're like, I just got in line. It wasn't even planned.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy your time living in LA?
I loved it. I miss it so much. Yeah, like I said, it was 8 or 9 years and a little bit before. I mean, I guess before Big Wolf, I did a movie called National Lampoon's Senior Trip. It was Jeremy Renner's first film too. And when we wrapped that, I moved to LA for a year and lived with Tara Sharendoff, who's now Tara Strong. She's the voice of like Powerpuff Girls and
Everything.
My Little Pony and like Harley Quinn and stuff. And yeah, so I lived with her for a bit, Jeremy for a bit. And then I moved back to Toronto, did Big Wolf and a few more films, and then went back for like the full like 8 years. And that's when I was like in the band and I was in a band for a long time. And those were great, great times, you know, like, yeah, it was a great time. For sure. I mean, where to begin? There's so much to say.
Yeah.
You guys know LA. It's a great city.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And especially for someone like are you're from LA? You're from California?
Neither of us are.
Oh, okay. So you get the thing about kind of like the, you know, the West Coast dream and like, oh, wow. Like it has this allure, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm from the East Coast. David's from the Midwest. So we were both looking for something different than where we grew up.
Like in my high school yearbook, my final quote or my quote was move to LA and become a rock star. Like I always wanted to
go.
You did it.
I did half of it. I moved to LA, but yeah. Yeah. I was in a band, but yeah.
Yeah.
You're in a theme song.
I wrote a theme song. And actually because of that song, you know, I guess I got the bug. And then when season one of Big Wolf ended, I had a backlog of like dozens of songs, and Peter Knight flew up from LA to Toronto where I was. And we went to the recording studio and I recorded a full album, which he co-funded. I love him. Bless his heart. And Abby Charette was one of the executive producers on Big Wolf. And she was married to Scott Bradford. And I love both those guys too. They're like the exemplary couple. Like you'd want to be them. Like they're beautiful, successful, cool people. And Scott Bradford was a music lawyer and he got that album to different publishers. And so I signed with Sony Publishing and I finished off the last two seasons of Big Wolf, then went to LA and started a band called The City Drive. And on our sixth show, which was South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, all the labels, you know that, of course, all the labels were there. And then we showcased back in LA for them. It was our sixth show and we signed to Sony Records. And then I just toured and we drove around the country dozens and dozens of times, played every single state except for Massachusetts. Like I've never been to Boston. I've never been to Seattle, Washington, but I've been to Alaska. We didn't play Alaska, but we played every other state, including Hawaii, open for Aerosmith, Fleetwood Mac, Goo Goo Dolls. You know, we did a bunch of Warp tours with bands like Sum 41 and stuff. So I just did that for years. So LA is good memories, right?
I was going to say, that sounds so fun.
And all because I caught the bug doing the theme song for Big Wolf and being in the studio and loving the process of recording.
Yeah. It all worked out.
Oh, yeah. We can see I think, is that a guitar behind you now? That
Yeah,
one.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
So do you still like record stuff
That's
of your
my
own?
baby. No, I'm too old for that. I do still. I miss her so much. I don't even know if it's a boy or girl, but I love that thing. I still, yeah, I have tons of songs, of course. I'm not interested in pursuing a band thing. Like, the hustle is insane, right? Like,
Oh, yeah.
but yeah, I still write, there's another thing I'm working on that involves music that I've written like an hour's worth of music for, which I'll come back and talk about if we get green lit. Like, I've had 100 meetings on it and I'm
Oh,
super
cool.
excited about it. This would be like the biggest thing I've done from my perspective if it happens. So definitely I'll come back, and that's like a whole thing where I've written the music and I'd be directing it, and it's a whole musical adventure. So
Oh, that's so
Oh my God. Well,
exciting.
we're keeping our fingers
Yeah.
crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Oh
That
my
sounds
gosh, yeah.
awesome.
And then can you
Yeah.
tell us a little bit about you worked for like those Lighthouse immersive experiences, which we went to the one in LA. I know you did the one in Toronto, but what did you do for those? Because those are just, I think, the coolest things.
Yeah, I'm so happy you went. I'm amazed, like, you've heard of it and that you've been there. That's really, really cool. Was it at Amoeba Records, like the old
The old
Amoeba
Amoeba,
Records?
yeah.
Yeah, I miss Amoeba too. I love that place.
I know the new
So
one's
I miss,
cool, but
it's
not
like,
quite the same.
yeah.
Is it at a different location?
Yeah.
The new one? Yeah. Where is it?
It is. Do you know where the Fonda Theater is on Hollywood Boulevard? It's
The
like,
Fonda Theater. I'm thinking of
yeah.
like the Kodak Theater.
So
There. I
it's
mean,
not too
there is.
far, but
Yeah.
it's,
Okay.
yeah. And it's fine. It's just
Yeah.
that the original one, it was like a place that you like could go to even if you were like a tourist, and it was like a cool place to see, and it just had a lot of character to it. So I think that was,
Yeah.
yeah, I loved the original one.
Yeah, I spent thousands of hours in there for sure. I mean, there's so
I thought
many
you were going to say dollars. I thought you were
both.
going to thousands
Both.
of
Just lots
dollars.
of thousands.
Getting my Criterion collection all caught up, and yeah. Thousands of hours. That's funny. I know I miss places like that, or like the ArcLight Cinema, New Beverly Cinema, Cinerama Dome, all those places. The Lemley Sunset Five. What was your question again? I don't even remember your question.
What you did for the Lighthouse immersive
Yeah. Oh
experiences in
yeah.
Toronto.
Yeah, they had a Banksy show in Toronto maybe 5 years ago or something. And they brought me in to do some art for that. So I had a piece, like when you first enter the venue, I had an artwork there. And then you go into the Banksy show. And I did some painting outside too, like as people were coming in for a couple of days or whatever. And I like to say, like, the only two artists showing at that show were me and Banksy. And then a couple of years later, they started doing these lighthouse immersive, these big immersive shows, as you know, where you walk into a huge room and it's, you know, they're projecting these images of Van Gogh artwork or Frida Kahlo artwork or whatever. And they brought me back for that. So I was the artist in residence and I was painting live at the venue and selling my artworks in the gift shop and meeting thousands of people. Thousands of people, thousands of hours, thousands of dollars. That's my next
Just
book title.
thousands.
Just
Yeah.
thousands.
Good band name, Thousands.
He's in. He's back into music.
Yeah, hang on, I gotta go write a chorus. Yeah, so I did that for 3 years, the last 3 years. So we did like all, you know, Van Gogh, Frida Kahlo, Gustav Klimt, Egon Schiele. There's a Bob Marley show. So many, many, many shows. And I'm going back next month to do a Banksy show. So they're bringing back Banksy. And it's
Oh,
not the
cool.
immersive one with the projections, it's his actual artwork. So it's, you know, doors taken off the street that he did street art on. And it's an awesome show. It's an awesome. I've seen half of it. Like, there are 140 pieces, $35
Wow.
million worth of his art.
Oh
So
my
I'm
God.
super stoked and I love him anyways. Like, when I lived in LA, I have photos of myself climbing up on rooftops, like on Melrose, taking pictures of me with Banksy in the background before he was anybody. I didn't even know who he was yet, right? Like, I have tons of photos of all the street art around LA because I'm an artist and I did street art too in LA at the time. And I just liked following that. And so now it's cool to be a part of it and, you know, make art alongside that exhibition.
Oh, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be
Yeah.
cool. And
Tell.
I think it's going on the road. So if it comes to LA, you
I
guys
was
should
gonna
definitely
say
check
either
it
we
out.
have
Oh
to
my
go, David,
gosh. Yeah.
which twist our arm will come,
I've
or if they
always
come back
wanted
to
to see
LA.
Toronto.
Yeah, same. Oh my God,
Come on, you
same.
guys can stay here. You can stay with me. I have room. There's a
Oh my
room and a
God.
bed,
Don't
your
tempt
own
us. Don't
bathroom,
tempt
your own.
us.
Dude, seriously, come on up. I have your own bathroom, shower, bathtub,
All right.
a parking spot, whatever you need.
We'll see you
All
next
right, we're
week.
in.
Cool.
And then tell everybody where they can find you on social media, so that way they can follow along, see when you're going to be at these shows.
Yeah, so I think Instagram is probably, even though I think Instagram is maybe dying out, right? Do you guys feel that too? Like, it's not as popular as it once was.
I feel like, yeah.
Like, it's, for me, I'm seeing a lot of ads. Even my own friends aren't posting like they used to, for sure. Myself included, but like a lot of people aren't posting. It's just, I miss it. I used to love Instagram when it was just like interesting. Actually, Peter Knight from Big Wolf was the one who first said, you got to get on this app, because it was about photography and cool, artful things, you know? But still, Instagram is the best place to reach me. It's Danny Smith X. I try to answer everybody. I'm not inundated with zillions of messages by any means, but yes, I try to answer everybody who writes to me. And I mean, that's probably the best place. And there's artwork at DannySmithArt.com. And check it out.
Yeah. Thank you so much again. Like I said, we just loved you and Big Wolf on campus. And now I'm excited to watch it back, just hearing all these incredible stories and what a great experience it was for you.
It was awesome. Yeah. And I think everybody else would say the same too. And thank you so much for having me. And sorry if I rambled. It was just kind of a stream of consciousness, whatever.
No.
But
we appreciate it. We appreciate the stories and the stream of consciousness. We're like just here listening. Thank you so much, Danny. It was so nice to meet you.
You too. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I truly meant it in that episode whenever I said that every single day after school, I would come home and watch Big Wolf on Campus and S Club 7.
I feel like everyone has like a show that they can specifically remember, like one or two, like you did. Like for me, it was Rocket Power.
I mean, you go to school. For like 8 hours.
It's way too long.
Like 8 a.m.
Criminal.
Yeah.
It's way too long.
Yeah, and you just need something when you get home to just relax.
Okay, but so we know what shows, but what snack did you eat while you were watching those shows?
It's a really good question. Thank you so much for asking.
You're welcome.
Okay, so sometimes I would have cereal.
Do you know what kind?
Cocoa Puffs was my go-to.
Okay.
Or I also would love, it was always such a treat, whenever my mom would buy the cosmic brownies.
Oh my God, I can taste them. I can taste
with
the
like
cosmic.
The four sprinkles.
Maybe four if you were lucky. They were always like in each corner. They were very like awkwardly placed.
And like you could peel the icing off and like eat it separate if you want.
I'm salivating.
What was yours?
I specifically remember, I think I've said this on here before, a massive, like a salad bowl of Reese's Puffs.
Just gonna say salad?
Just a salad. In the 90s, it is a salad.
Just like a little bit of ranch.
A little bit of salad. No, I loved a big bowl of cereal. Reese's Puffs, Apple Jacks.
Yeah.
They're not around anymore, but we used to love Berry Berry Kicks. Do you remember Kix?
I can like picture the box. But I
don't
So
you know
Kix,
the little like they
K-I-X,
had.
KIX. Right?
Yes. Yeah. They had berries in them. That was obvious. Like little purple and red. What? Berries in it. Loved those.
Waffle crisp and cookie crisp.
Oh my God. Or maybe just like a Pop-Tart.
Pop-Tart. I had a Pop-Tart
You
today.
Had a Pop-Tart. Wait, you had a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, I had.
When we were finishing our interview.
Too. I had a lot of Pop-Tarts.
No, I'm not calling you on your Pop-Tarts. I'm really sorry.
I had two Pop-Tarts in 2 days, you guys.
Were they the same kind?
No.
Okay.
Switched it up.
Okay, so when David had his first Pop-Tart, I asked him, I said, what kind are you having? Let me guess. I guess strawberry first. Wrong. Brown sugar, cinnamon sugar. Wrong. I was third time's the charm, s'mores.
Yep.
And so this was not the same one.
This was not the same one.
Was it
at Target this week?
David feels like he's like, I have to defend this.
The Pop-Tarts were a buy to save.
David will never walk out without taking advantage of the buy to
save. The buy to and save. It's like a BOGO.
A BOGO. I was saying to him, though, they've come out with a lot of flavors of Pop-Tarts. We did a YouTube video.
There's really one for everyone.
Remember the pretzel ones?
Yes.
We tried those.
Yeah, we were so inventive with our YouTube then.
But there's so many flavors.
Yeah.
What was your second one?
Your first?
Strawberry.
Because
they're really the OGs.
Oh, everyone says it.
I will pound. Is it brown cinnamon sugar or brown sugar cinnamon? Should I not say pound? I will devour brown cinnamon sugar Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
It's uncontrollable. I'll eat five.
Do you put them in the toaster? Do you heat them up or do you just eat them plain? Oh,
okay, so I normally eat them plain, but my God, if you put...
plain? This is like room temp.
Room temp. I normally eat them room temp, but if you stick one of those bad boys in the toaster and then put a little bit of butter on it...
I've never put butter on it.
It's unreal.
Oh, I have some brown cinnamon sugar
in the toasty. Take it out. Toasty. Put a little bit of butter on it. I don't know why I'm getting so excited. I think I just love a snack.
Yeah. And you know who else we love?
You know who else we love who also probably loves snacks? Danny Smith. Danny, I'm sorry if you've made it this far. He probably will make it this far. God bless him.
We can't thank him enough, though, for coming on and chatting. I have seen every single episode of Big Wolf on Campus multiple times. And if, for whatever reason, you have not seen the show, like we said, they aren't the clearest version.
No.
But they're actually pretty decent for what they are.
Yeah.
YouTube, search Big Wolf on Campus. Someone has all the episodes up and there's a playlist. Just start the playlist. It'll take you from episode one all the way through season three.
I'm so glad that that's out there. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not the best quality, I think that adds to it. Like it's nostalgic.
It reminds me of whenever we were doing our episode about My Date with the President's Daughter. Mm-hmm. The only way you can watch that is on YouTube too. Mm-hmm. That one was really blurry. The Big Wolf on Campus ones are not as blurry as My Date with the President's Daughter.
No, but sometimes you just got to do what you got to do to see these things. Okay. But
we push through.
We push through. We make it through. But
we're like Reba.
We're
survivors.
We're survivors. But everyone make sure you go check out Danny. His Instagram is DannySmithX. Should we add an X to the end of ours? Back to the best X. We'll think about it. Yeah, we'll sleep on it. Maybe.
You never say never.
Never say never.
And in Danny's bio, he has a link to Danny Smith Art. He's going to be the artist in residence at an upcoming Banksy show in Toronto. So if you're in the Toronto area, you got to go check it out.
Check it out. He's going to be painting live at the venue as well as selling pieces in the gift shop. My God, I love a gift shop. Love it. Make sure you go check it out. Follow him. Check out his art page.
And then
check us out. Check us out. Make sure you check us out as well. We are at BTTV Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, X. We're just never going to get X. If you go to like TikTok, just put Back to the Best, Facebook, Back to the Best. Yeah. Our website is www.bttbpodcast.com.
Tell your friends.
It's all there. Tell your friends. Go check it out and show us some love and we'll show you love right back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know.
It's time to go.
The snacks. Farewell. David's got to get a Pop-Tart.
With butter, apparently.
Try it.
And I...
Butter. No, you and you, butter. Tune in next week where we are going to keep taking you back to the best. Bye.